We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that.
And welcome in, everybody. It is great to be here sitting next to my highly acclaimed, widely beloved co-host, Carla Dawson. Good morning.
Good morning. I love Football Fridays.
And we've got Ron behind the glass. He's the Chargers fan, a token Chargers fan, joining us here on set.
And he's got a new starting quarterback, Justin Herbert. You like that, Ron?
About time.
Well, it's about time, but he looked very good last week.
And the week before. Let's give it to him.
I honestly think it was this, that Anthony Lynn just kept saying he's not the starter just in case, because he wasn't going to base it off of one game. But now we've seen three good games out of Justin Herbert. You can't go back.
What happens to Tyrod? This is the second time he's lost his job because of injury, and that Baker Mayfield came in for him in Cleveland, and the rest is history, and now Justin Herbert's doing the same.
He moves on to the team that is in the hunt for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
Yes. Boy. You know, in hour number two, we're going to get
Just might be the Texans. Darn.
Well, in hour number two, we're going to get a chance to visit with Ryan Leaf, who, of course, is a former Charger quarterback. We'll ask him about Justin Herbert.
I know. I'm really curious to see what he thinks about Tyrod as well.
And so much to unpack in the world of sports. Obviously, lots of baseball last night. Your beloved Astros have advanced to the ALCS.
I know, against what everyone wished, including SportsCenter last night, who said, do we have to waste time talking about them?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, shame on you. That is a series that gave you 33 hits and 12 home runs. Get over it. It was a great series.
That Astros lineup is on fire right now.
En fuego. I love it.
And then the Yankees Rays are going to have an epic game five, bringing back starting pitchers on short rest. It should be a very, very good game five.
Cole versus Glasnow, which is interesting. A year ago, it was Cole versus Glasnow in game five when Cole was an Astro facing the elimination game with the Rays. So, and Cole got the better of that. So let's see what happens tonight.
Congrats to the Dodgers. And there was a big Thursday night football game last night. We're going to unpack, did Tom Brady forget how to count to four? It appears that he had a mental breakdown down the stretch. That was Tom Brady and the Buccaneers falling to the Bears. We will unpack that game when we return. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
Football Friday with the boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, it was a pretty sloppy game last night in Thursday Night Football. Bears and Buccaneers, loads of penalties. But then it did come down to that moment when we all thought, okay, here comes Tom Brady. He's got over a minute to play. All he has to do is drive the Buccaneers into field goal range, and the Buccaneers will walk off a winner. Tom Brady will have led another fourth down comeback.
At that point, they were trailing the Bears 17-19.
It was all teed up for another historic, heroic Tom Brady win, and then it appears he lost count of the downs, as on fourth and five, when he had a receiver short that would have converted for the first, he went further downfield trying to pick up chunk yards. The ball fell incomplete. He stood on the field with four in his hand saying, no, it's fourth down, trying to convince the ref that it's really only fourth. And yet the series was over. The game was over. Did Tom Brady just miscount?
He did. And it didn't even appear that it was fourth down. Count the fingers. Freeze the frame. He thought it was fourth down. And he was saying, but wait, it's fourth down. And you've got Bruce Arians saying, oh, no, he knew. He knew it was fourth down, and he didn't know.
No, I think that's a spin after the game. It is totally interesting. Hear his comments. He was asked, did you miscount? And he said, no, well, what happened is I went for a chunk play. We needed yardage. We needed a first down. I went for the yards. I probably at that moment should have gone for the first down. But he didn't really address the question whether the reason he went downfield was because he miscounted the downs.
And here's why he miscounted the downs. Patriots Tom Brady is used to having white pants at the end of the game. He never gets he had an incredible line in New England. He is not a mobile quarterback, so he's got great protection. He does not like being hit. You know that the way to get to Tom Brady is to rattle him by not only sacks, but even just QB hits. Last night he was sacked 3 times, and he was hit I don't know how many times, but there was a drive that I would define flag football as last night. There was a flag thrown after every single play. It was so insane. There was no rhythm to it. And Tom Brady was so rattled. That's the drive. And I think it was late in the third when he got to the sideline and absolutely ripped his O-line up one side and down the other. He went medieval on them. Or as Ryan Clark this morning said on ESPN, he went Bill O'Brien on his O-line, which he did, and deservedly so. Jensen had a stupid penalty, several dumb penalties. But I think that kind of unraveling for Tom Brady, being hit consistently, led to this absolute mind lapse that you would not see from a 43-year-old quarterback. They were penalized 11 times, the Bucs, 11 times for 109 yards. They're the third most penalized team in the league. He's not used to this.
Well, and give the Bears defensive front some credit. Khalil Mack, yeah, of course, one of the great pass rushers in the league. Robert Quinn there. They really did get in Brady's face all day long. And that's a really strong defensive front for the Bears. Nick Foles did what he had to do. He was good down the stretch. He did lead the Bears when they were down in the fourth quarter to the field goal that extended the lead. So I guess I have to give some credit to the Bears as well. But that was adversity that Brady did not have to face in New England very often.
No, and I was prepping for the show last night as I was watching it. And every time I looked up, I saw, you know, some Bucks pulling Brady off the ground.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, again, was that a replay of the previous play? I mean, he was down all the time. I agree with you that the Bears need some credit, and so does Foles, because he had an ugly start at the beginning.
Yep.
I thought, oh man, you've got to be kidding me, come on. And he really got it together. And then you saw late in the game, third or fourth quarter, he was on the sideline screaming in Matt Nagy's face, like telling him what he saw. Like, this is, you know, basically, this is what I'm seeing, this is what we need to do. And it wasn't Tom Brady dressing down his O-line. It was a veteran quarterback, and you saw Trubisky sticking his head in there trying to learn some wisdom from Foles, which is brilliant. He should. Of him telling Nagy, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we need to do. I credit Matt Nagy. He sat there and listened to that. Good for you. That's what you should do. And then you don't get yourself in a Bill O'Brien situation where you don't listen to your quarterback who knows what he's doing and is being paid more than you. I mean, that really... I loved seeing that exchange on the sideline. I love seeing Nick Foles fired up like that because I'm not used to that. But he really was saying, I was trying to read his lips, this is what I'm seeing. This is what you need to adjust to. Loved it.
And the Bears on that 4th and 5 had the play well covered, at least downfield. Now, that short pass was there for the taking to get the first down. One of the funny things to me as I was watching it, I was thinking, okay, it's 4th and 5. Brady needs to pick up the first down. He threw it downfield. The ball fell incomplete. And then he stood there with 4 fingers in the air suggesting, no, 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 it's still 4th down. The game's not over. And I will say as I watched it, when I knew it was 4th down, I knew he'd missed, I knew the game was over. But when Tom Brady's putting 4 fingers up, I thought, oh, he must be right. I mean, it's
of
almost
course.
Like when he turned to the refs and said, it's 4th down, I almost thought the refs were going to change the down because it's Tom Brady telling us so. How do you dismiss the GOAT when he tells you what down it is on the last drive of the game?
Well, I'll tell you, the GOAT is in a different situation. And, you know, in New England, he's used to a very disciplined, tough approach to football on both sides of the ball. And he's a disciplined guy. Look at his diet and everything else that he does. This is a whole new ball game. Of course, he was missing O.J. Howard last night. So he was throwing to Blate. I didn't even know who this guy was. And he did a nice job last night. But, you know, and Gronk is not what he used to be. I will say that. Tom Brady is also 43 years old. Yes, he is defying the age barrier, but it's not the same. I mean, when you're 43 and getting knocked down 20 times a game, it's quite different than when you're 30. And I think it also shows last night, when you looked at the numbers, especially when I saw at the half, comparing passing yards, running yards, time of possession, you know, interceptions, the Bears had already given one. the Bucks were clearly leading in all statistical categories. However, the penalties killed him.
Yeah, they got to clean that up.
They've got to clean that up. And, you know, you saw that with the Monday night game with the New Orleans and Las Vegas. Penalties killed the Saints. They had 12 penalties for 110 yards. They're not coming out of the game like that. You can't do that against, you know, in other NFL defenses. I mean, you're going to get, it's just not going to work for you.
Well, Bucks face the Packers this next week. It will be a great big matchup, marquee matchup of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, but Bucks at risk of going 3-3. Bears look like a better team with Nick Foles than they did with Mitch Trubisky, although Foles was a bit inconsistent last night, as you said.
Just in the beginning, but he got it straightened out. He got it straightened out. This is the Bears' first 4-1 start since 2012.
It's been a long, dry spell for that team.
Do you like Foles as the starter?
Well, I do very much. I mean, Nick Foles, I always felt, never got the credit that he deserved when he won that Super Bowl for the Eagles. Of course, he bounced around a bit, but that was a very good pickup for a Bears team that had to have lots of questions about Trubisky. Now they've got a guy who has played at a very high level in this league, and by all accounts, he's always been a very good presence in the locker room.
Yeah,
so at the very least, the guy they picked up would support Trubisky and in Trubisky's development. But then if Trubisky were to falter, you had Nick Foles to come in. And that's exactly what's happened. And I think the Bears are on a better trajectory right now.
No, I agree. And I know you've always been high on David Montgomery, the running back for the Bears. How'd you like him last night?
I loved him. I thought his catch there at the end was clutch.
Beautiful.
He knew, both Foles and he knew. It's interesting. I saw somebody critiquing that play later saying, oh, Foles should have thrown it out further in front of him. But if he had, there was a safety coming over. Foles threw it just enough to where it was over the linebackers who were short and in front of the safety. The catch was there. Montgomery knew he had to get that catch, and that put them right where they needed to be in field goal range. They knew what they had to get, and the two of them executed the play perfectly.
And give credit to the Bears, you know, kicker, who punter, because their normal one, gosh, what is his name? He was out. So they had Santos was in, and he made two key field goals, which was great.
Yep.
So, yeah, great job for the Bears all around. I mean, wow. Who thought we'd be saying this? 4-1 Bears, 2020 strange.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Ron Borges. He is from Boston. He knows all things Patriots. He knows a lot about the history of Tom Brady. Ron Borges, who's a Hall of Fame NFL voter. We will unpack the NFL. I want to ask him now, given what he's seen, that great bet we had at the beginning of the season, which team will win more, Brady with the Buccaneers or Cam Newton with Bill Belichick? We'll ask Ron Borges that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project?
I do.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered, Carla. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You know, one thing I really wanted to mention about the game last night, it was super chippy, which I kind of enjoy. I think that's kind of fun, especially Thursday night football usually gets bad rap. Did you see how Khalil Mack handled 320-pound Tristan Wirfs of the Bucks? He threw him around like he was a handkerchief.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Gosh.
Yeah, Tristan Wirfs, a first-round pick for the Buccaneers. He was the guy they were counting on to really help Brady up front. And Mac, welcome to the NFL in a really tough way. I tell you what, Khalil Mack.
I see where Mack Truck came from, the words Mack
yeah,
Truck.
Yeah, he's an awesome force.
Yeah.
And that Bears defense is a force to be reckoned with. You know, and Tom Brady, we talked about last segment, the mistake he made in counting the downs down the stretch. He made another mistake this week. before the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Brady said that the Texans should not have fired Bill O'Brien. He did. He said he did not understand it. And I have a feeling that you think Tom Brady's wrong about that. Bill O'Brien fired from the Texans this week. Good or bad move, Carla Dawson?
It was the right move, and it was years too late.
But just four games into the season. How can it be?
It shouldn't have even gone to this. When I saw that quote from Tom Brady, and here it is. Here's the exact quote. He says, Bill O'Brien's firing does not make sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we are based here in Houston, so we know, you know, inside look, close up, and personal. Let me ask you this, Brady, if this makes sense to you. You are a competitive, you are the GOAT of all time in the NFL right now, for sure. Does this make sense to you? Starting your season 0-4, losing your best receiver for nothing. Oh, actually, for a running back, but your quarterback really doesn't, that's not applying to his skills.
Yeah, they traded DeAndre Hopkins away in the offseason.
Exactly, for running back David Johnson. You know, then you have a 4-12 record in Deshaun Watson's first season. And what do the Texans do after 4-12? Extend Bill O'Brien for another 5 years. You also gave away Jadeveon Clowney for 2 third-round draft picks. There went your pass rush. I mean, what? I don't understand this. How would Tom Brady feel at 0-4
yeah,
right now?
Some of that critique is against Bill O'Brien, the general manager. Some of the critique is Bill O'Brien, the coach. But the combination just did not work. Texans off to an 0-4 start, and of course they don't have their first-round pick or their second-round pick in the upcoming NFL draft. They may well have one of the highest picks in the draft, but Miami will get to make those selections as part of the Tunsil trade. That's right.
Exactly. Let me give you a little bit more. Does this make sense to you, Tom Brady? Your team, the Texans, let's say, had a 24-point lead in Kansas City in the playoffs. They went on to be outscored 51-7 and lose to the Chiefs. Does that make sense to you? And since you're now with Tampa Bay, let me give you something that you might be able to relate to better. Since the Texans won at Tampa Bay last season in 2019 to give them a 10-5 record, they've trailed by double digits in 7 consecutive games, including 2 playoff games. They've trailed by 14, 16, 10, 24, 17, 11, and 14 points. The Texans are 1-6 in those games. Does that make sense to you, Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, of course, has a history with Bill O'Brien. Yes, I'm going to side with you rather than Tom Brady for one time. But
okay.
Brady, of course, has a history with O'Brien. They were together in New England. O'Brien was the OC when Brady was the quarterback. And I think that Brady's just supporting a friend at this moment. I don't think he could rationally suggest that the record in Houston warrants another year for Bill O'Brien. But the Texans now elevate Romeo Crennel as the interim head coach. They're going to give Tim Kelly, the nominal offensive coordinator, the chance to really call the plays without being overruled by Bill O'Brien. Tim Kelly gets a chance to really shine with Deshaun Watson.
And I think he's going to. And there was an interview with Deshaun this week, and he said, you know, I have great – both Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, who are the leaders of the Texans and their franchise players on both sides of the ball, have said very matter-of-factly, this is a business decision, and this is what happens in football. That's a nice way of saying, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. Bye, Bill. We've had enough.
Yep.
And it's been very public this week that there was a clear dust-up in the week 3 practices leading up to the Steelers game between J.J. Watt and Bill O'Brien, which included also the D.C. Anthony Weaver, I think all against Bill O'Brien. But as classy as J.J. Watt is, he's not going to give any details to that, and good enough. But Deshaun Watson says, you know, I really like Tim Kelly. He's going to be great, and we're going to work together on this offensive scheme. And that's exactly what didn't happen, because Bill O'Brien did not know what to do with Deshaun's strengths. Why would you reinforce and make the run game the priority when you have a dual threat, uber talented mobile quarterback? Scratching my head. And meanwhile, DeAndre Hopkins, who he gave away, which was Deshaun's favorite target, is leading the league with 39 interceptions.
Yeah, the loss of DeAndre Hopkins has been a real setback for this Houston offense. There hasn't been another receiver who's really stepped up into that kind of role. But there's really no replacing DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins has to be one of the best three or four receivers in the league. I mean, you can argue for a couple other names, Michael Thomas, et cetera. But Hopkins is extraordinary, and he's made a big impact on the Cardinals and the development of Kyler Murray already. And so, yeah, this is a big step back for the Texans. They're going to have to really regroup. It is interesting to look ahead and think about what next for the Texans, because when you fire Bill O'Brien, you have to replace both the general manager position and the head coach position. And so they really got two openings. And this week, the owner, Cal McNair, came out and said they're hiring a search firm and they're going to go through a process and they're really going to look at all the alternatives.
At the end of the season.
At the end of the season. I might say this. I was surprised about hiring a search firm. You don't usually hear that in the NFL, because usually what search firms are tasked to do, say, in the normal realm of business, is that you go and find a bunch of candidates that the company might not have already known about. The NFL list of head coach candidates is not that long and hard. I mean, they're going to be presumably 7 or 8 names you're going to give consideration to. I don't know that you need a search firm to go find out who's out there, but it will be intriguing to watch this process unfold. Question for you, what kind of profile, what would you look for? Are you looking for a defensive-minded coach, an offensive-minded coach? What's the profile that you would like to see?
You're definitely looking for an offensive-minded coach, because you can bring in a defensive coordinator, no problem, and you need to bring pieces back because Bill O'Brien didn't extend DJ Reader, which was huge, you know, that kind of thing. But you have to bring in someone that can play to Deshaun Watson's strength, because he's not developing as he should because he was handicapped by Bill O'Brien, the general manager and coach.
So you like Eric Bieniemy. You like?
I love Eric Bieniemy. Could we get him from Kansas City? I don't know. But
well, I think he's looking for a head coaching job. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. I think there's a great chance for the Texans to pick up Eric Bieniemy if they would like to get him. He could bring that offense that he has now learned and developed with Andy Reid. He could bring that and put it in place with Deshaun Watson. In some sense, when I look at Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, they have similar styles. They both can make all the throws, and they both have legs to go and move and buy time. They're not a run-to-set-up-a-pass quarterback like Lamar Jackson sometimes is.
Right.
These are guys who use their feet to buy time, and they keep their eyes downfield, and they're very effective. And so putting Deshaun in a more wide-open, exciting offense like the Chiefs would really make a lot of sense, be very exciting. The other name, obviously, everyone's talking about is Josh McDaniel as a candidate. He's been the OC at the Patriots for a long time, has a history as a head coach with the Broncos. But I'm a little fatigued by former Belichick coaches who then get head coaching jobs. In fact, the Texans just went there with Bill O'Brien and have been so disappointed. Anyway, I think going to Bieniemy would be a fresher start than going and taking one of the Belichick assistants.
I agree with you completely. He's my first choice. I think that would be an amazing pickup. And I think your point about, I thought it was interesting too to hear that Cal McNair say that we're going to hire a search firm. But hand it to him that he's not a football guy. Yes, he understands football, but their family business is something quite different. And so, hey, it doesn't hurt to bring in a search firm. Let the expertise come to something else and do it the right way. I think he made that very clear. We're going to follow the league protocol. This is because they got into that mess with the guy in New England, not Easterby, but I can't remember the other
guy. Borges. No, I'm Ron Borges is coming up next. No, it was Nick Caserio. Yes, they tried to hire Nick Caserio, and that obviously did not work out. I mean, Caserio was still under contract.
Well, and that was Bill O'Brien, the general manager, who ended up really screwing it up for Bill O'Brien, the coach.
Well, I'm going to go back to the name Ron Borges, because he's going to join us when we return.
Yes, nice.
He is a longstanding Boston reporter, and we will ask him the question I want to ask him, which is, which team will we get more wins this year? Brady with the Buccaneers or Cam Newton with Bill Belichick? That up next with Ron Borges when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, now let's go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So we're going out to the Progressive Insurance guest line where we are joined by Ron Borges. Ron is a longtime NFL writer. He's also a Hall of Fame voter. Ron, welcome into the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Thanks. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great.
Better now. You're here.
There we go. That's what I like to hear.
So we know you have seen all things New England sports forever. Have to ask you last night, you've watched Tom Brady forever. Have you ever seen him make such a mental error as he did in the counting of downs at the end of the game?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not he actually knew, was confused, or whether he was just basically thinking, what kind of play was that we ran on fourth down, which seemed to cause some of his teammates to shake their heads as well. But, you know, certainly Tom's known for not making the mental mistakes of any sort. But, you know, you get old, you move to Florida, you tend to forget things.
He's happens. Playing a lot of shuffleboard these days, right?
Right. No, that's right. But overall, I think he's been playing, you know, pretty well. I mean, he's not the player he was when he was, you know, 30 years old, obviously. But he's more than good enough to win down there. And he's got some pretty good weapons when everybody's healthy. So it'll be interesting to see as the season progresses who wins the battle between him and Bill Belichick, who's obviously got his own problems up here in New England.
Well, that takes us to Belichick in New England. And I promised everybody I would ask you the question, who's going to win more games this year, Brady with the Buccaneers or Belichick with Cam Newton in New England? What's your prognosis for the Patriots?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It's hard to really know, especially now with the, you know, this sort of COVID-19 problem that they've had now for going on 2 weeks. They got another game pushed back to a Monday. It didn't work very well. They had a pretty unfair advantage in Kansas City, having to get up at 6 in the morning and be tested, get on separate planes and fly the day of the game and then play that night. It was like a high school game. You know, you're rolling on the bus, get off the bus, run onto the field and play. But overall, I would still lean toward Brady, frankly. I just remain unsure whether Cam Newton physically is going to be able to survive the whole season. As you guys, I'm sure, noticed, they've gotten away from having Cam Newton running around all over the place like he did in the first game, because I think they realized, you know, you're with his history of injury, you're really courting disaster if you keep putting that much pressure on his legs, especially with his particular style. You know, he runs like a fullback, not like Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick used to be. So I would still lean toward Brady. If you've seen the past 20 years of Tom Brady magic like I had, you've learned not to bet against him. So in the end, I would say somehow Brady will nose out Belichick.
Ron, I'm glad you brought up the disadvantage that New England had going into the Kansas City game last week. And, you know, not to mention they were out without Cam Newton as quarterback. And still, late in the third, they were within a field goal of the Chiefs before that pick six by Tyrann Mathieu. Do you see some cracks in the armor with Kansas City? They have a tendency to get off to a lot of slow starts. And I thought, given the situation that you just described happening with the Patriots, traveling the morning of, two separate planes, 6 a.m., all of that, and then not having their star quarterback, they could have won that game. What do you think about the Chiefs? Does this show any cracks in the armor?
I don't really think so, because in the end, as I told one of my friends, they still put 26 up on a night when clearly Patrick Mahomes was not at his best. And I think sometimes we forget that as difficult as the situation was for New England, you know, it was weird for the Chiefs too. You know, they're out there, do we really want to play against these COVID-infested guys? And, you know, we were getting ready to play everybody, and now we're playing. So, you know, I think that there was a lot of strangeness in that game for both sides, and I think that, unfortunately, if the league itself doesn't start doing a better job of monitoring these players and keeping them healthy, you're going to have more situations like that. But I would not bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. The problem with the Chiefs is, you know, the Patriots are better defensively than the Chiefs are, and so the game, if the game stays close for a while, well, then anything could happen on a particular Sunday, especially if we're talking about playoffs and a knockout game. But I wouldn't go off of that game and say. But you're right about the one thing, Carla. No question, they have started slowly a number of times. Mm-hmm. But people forget they were doing that a lot last year too. I mean, they in fact, against New England, it's happened a number of times, and then in every game they came roaring back in the second half. So we'll see as it goes forward. But I think that particular game, or any game that's weirded out like that, I think becomes a little bit. Not something you really should measure by. I mean, they're going to play, the Patriots are going to play Denver this week a day late. Half the Denver guys may not even want to be in the game, you know. You never know.
You're right. In COVID season, we don't know what's going to happen. But you're so right, because you look at last postseason alone with the Chiefs. You know, they had a 17-point deficit in the Super Bowl. They had a 24-0, you know, deficit against the Texans, you know, in the playoffs, and were managed to overcome it all. So let me ask you, Ron, the Texans. We're here in Houston. We're based out of Houston. Obviously, I want to hear your opinion on if you think Bill O'Brien should have been fired. It's so funny, sitting here in H-Town at 0-4, it's not only obvious, but we're wondering what took the Texans so long. Why is it so surprising to people, including Tom Brady, that Bill O'Brien got the axe?
Well, I think a couple of things. And before I ask the give you this caveat, Bill O'Brien's a friend of mine. I just talked to him yesterday, as a matter of fact. So I'm a little bit probably biased toward him in a way. But I think he'd be the first to tell you that I'm also the kind of guy who would tell people the truth of what I think. I think Bill made some mistakes. There's no question about that. I think his temper sometimes can get the best of him and cloud his judgment, as I thought it did at the time when they traded Hopkins. That, to me, was the move that actually hung him. Having said that, when you win four division titles in 6 years, and last year you're in the final eight, it's a little odd to fire that coach. It's not like they've had a history of great success until Bill O'Brien got there. So I think part of the thing with Houston is they're not as good as you all want to think they are. I mean, they got a pretty good team, and Bill's done a good job of keeping them competitive and winning divisions and getting in the playoffs. But they've never been good enough, in my mind. I never thought of them as the best team in the conference, so they never should have been in the Super Bowl. I mean, they're not that good. Having said that, when you start off 0-4, everybody is at risk. There's no question about it. And I think a fatal mistake is, and this is something I told Bill, in Houston you can't get in a fight with J.J. Watt.
Exactly. We talked about this yesterday. Right. You're right.
Yeah. Now, who was right and who was wrong, I don't know. I wasn't there, but it doesn't matter. You can't get in a fight with J.J. Watt and you get away with it. Not when you're 0-4. You know, when you're 4-0, you're a stand-up coach, and he's right and the player is wrong. But when you're 0-4, you got no chance. I mean, you probably can't do it when you're 4-0, but you surely can't do it at 0-4. And I think that was a mistake. Whether long-term things turn around there, I got my doubts. I don't think they're that good this season. And if it were me, I would have not given Bill the general manager title in the first place.
Amen.
And if I had given it to him, I would have taken it away from him. But I don't think I would have fired him as the coach.
Yeah, I think Bill O'Brien, the general manager, ruined it for Bill O'Brien, the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, and quite frankly, Bill Belichick has had some of those same problems. He was always able to avoid them. Because of Tom Brady, frankly. But if you went back and look at, he made some good moves, don't get me wrong, but if you look at, if you chart their draft, which some people have done, generally not good. But you hit on a couple of big players, and you got Tom Brady, a quarterback. And you can see that what's happening in New England right now without Tom Brady. Even with Cam Newton, you know, they weren't blowing people away. And without Cam Newton, they looked as inept as everybody else. No, I said to one of my friends who's a big Belichick supporter, hey, what happened to the system? I thought you just needed a system. You didn't need players. You just need the system. Just plug in anybody. And as you guys know down in Houston, you plug in Brian Hoyer, your car's running out of gas long before you get to your destination.
And then you get to Jarrett Stidham. I mean, they were to their third stringer the other night against Kansas City. So
exactly, and he was worse than Hoyer.
Oh, he was.
We're talking to Ron Borges, longtime NFL writer and Hall of Fame voter. Let me ask you about the quarterback position in New England. I was reading an article in the Globe recently. They were suggesting that now would be the time to sign Newton for next season and beyond, that you could get him at a better price now, guaranteeing some money this season. Do you think that next year Cam Newton will be the quarterback, or Jared Stidham or someone else will be the quarterback of the New England Patriots?
I'd be surprised if Newton is here, because Newton's a smart guy. He's a businessman. He understands his value, and he understands your average investor does not. You don't buy high and sell low. Go the other way around. So right now would be the worst possible time. That he doesn't need the money in and of itself. He's made $100 million already, so it's not like he needs to. Okay, they come in here and they give me a low ball deal, but better than the one I've got right now, so I'll take it. He doesn't need it. He's the kind of guy, I believe, will gamble on himself. He'll bet on himself that he's going to have a great season, and then he'll go out there and see what he's worth, and somebody will pay him considerably more than what they're going to pay him here, is what I believe will be the case. New England does not have a great history of paying aging players a lot of money. That being said, that leaves New England in a tough circumstance, because I never believed the fiction that was going on early on after Brady left, that Stidham is the guy, and they really believe in Stidham. And I kept telling people, based on what? How did you come to the conclusion that they've seen enough of Stidham to think that he's the next guy? I said, the only time they saw him throw a pass, it got caught by the wrong guy, and they returned it in the opposite direction for a touchdown for the wrong team.
Yep.
You don't look at that and say, yeah, it's my guy. And so what happens, they put him in a game last weekend, and now it wasn't totally his fault, but he throws the ball to the other team, and they return it for a touchdown for the other team. So a small body of work, but not good. So I think they've got an ongoing quarterback problem, because I do not think, unless they are going to come up with a market value contract for Cam Newton, which I don't believe that A, they will, and B, I don't think it's wise. You want to give Patrick Mahomes $500 million, young guy with all upside. That's one thing. You know, Cam has already had a shaky injury history. And frankly, when he got his one chance on the biggest stage, wasn't all his fault, but he didn't play well in the Super Bowl. So post 30 years old, I don't think he's going to get the offer that he wants at this point anyway. Now, say he has just a glorious season, he's getting late in the season, and they decide he's their guy, then maybe they try to cut him off at the pass with a big offer. But I'd be surprised if he's not a free agent next season.
Well, that'll make an interesting offseason for the Patriots, who I guess will be looking for another quarterback to add to that roster. Hoyer's not the answer, and Stidham hasn't really developed yet, at least. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your insights, and we'll have to get you back on the air. Really appreciate it.
Sure, glad to do it. See y'all.
Take care. That's Ron Borges, longtime NFL writer, Hall of Fame voter, joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, I guess we got good news on the COVID front for the Tennessee Titans. Everyone is fine.
Yeah, they got positive tests this morning, so they will go on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night football.
Tuesday night football, TNF.
I love it. We can watch Sunday night football, Monday night football, Tuesday night football. Then we'll have to skip one night, and then we'll be back on Thursday night football, which I love.
Yeah, I do too. But not so good news in New York.
The Jets, apparently a player has tested positive, an unnamed player, and so all Jets players and coaches have been sent home. Frankly, if the Jets had to forfeit a game, it might be better for them.
I think they're hoping for a forfeit. Come on, punish away. You know, Sam Darnold was going to be out anyway with a sprained right shoulder. He got tossed to the ground against Denver. Pretty badly. Joe Flacco is going to get the start.
Back from the dead. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I mean, wow. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. I wonder how far reaching this is going to go, because you see, you know, games are getting postponed, which means that you have to postpone. It's like a domino effect.
It is a domino effect.
And I was going to say this too. And the other positive, if the Jets had to forfeit the game, is Adam Gase gets to keep his job one more week.
One more week. Exactly. That's right, because a lot of whispers are out there that one more loss and Gase is gone. He ought to just keep everybody off the field.
Well, you know, Dan Quinn is like getting COVID positive people and breathing on his locker room. He's like, come on, come on, keep me in for a little longer too. I need it too. Oh, man. It's ugly.
Well, we were looking at it just a few weeks ago. The odds on who would be the first head coach to get fired. And at that moment, I think Adam Gase was in the, well, he was a leader in the clubhouse. But then Bill O'Brien jumped ahead of him after the 0-4 start. But Gase certainly is at the top of the list right now.
Well, the difference between Gase and O'Brien is that Gase doesn't have a lot of weapons outside of Sam Darnold, who's obviously not even able to develop. Bill O'Brien has got a franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and one of the best defensive players ever to play the game in J.J. Watt, and they can't win. And they've got weapons, you know, in the wide receiver game. And so that's the difference. There's too much talent, and they've got the largest payroll in the NFL at $266 million. Thank you, Bill O'Brien, for leaving that lovely gift.
All right, it will be a new era in Houston. And when we come back in hour number two, we're going to take a look at some of the quarterback play around the league, including whether it's time for Tua in Miami. Yes, it just might be time. All that and more when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.